John chapter 14. Now, John chapter 14, this is not my message. I just want you to get this one verse. I'm going to kind of give you a little memory verse this morning. John chapter 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father, that's Jesus, and He shall give you another comforter. Who is the other comforter? The Holy Spirit. Now, you're looking at your Bible. That He may abide with you till you get mad at the preacher. He may abide with you till you get mad at the deacon. Did it say that? He may abide with you till you fall into some terrible, gross sin. He may abide with you till you get a divorce. He may abide with you until you could put a billion things in there, couldn't you? Now, what does your Holy Bible say? Abide with you, what, folks?
Forever.
Forever. That means He ain't ever going to leave you. He's going to be there right down to the very end. All right, now take your Bible and turn to the book of Jonah. Turn to the book of Jonah. Now write it down. I want to preach this morning on why Jonah got mad. I want you to turn to the book of Jonah, and I want you to turn to Jonah first of all. I want you to turn to Jonah chapter 4, and I want you to, let's get verse 1 in Jonah chapter 4. I want to preach on this morning why Jonah got mad. And you need to write it down. Get your piece of paper somewhere and write it down, because it's a very important thing why Jonah got mad. Now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that You'd just please open up our hearts. And Father, I pray You'd speak to every heart here this morning. And Father, I pray You'd build them this morning. And I pray that by the grace of God that You would work in their hearts and do a work of grace that won't be forgotten, Father. And Lord, I pray that You would do the work. And Lord, just give me freedom, give me power. Lord, help me not to say something dumb and stupid, but Lord, may it be what the Holy Spirit wants me to say. In Jesus' name I pray, and for His sake, amen. Now, Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. I want to preach on why did Jonah get mad? Why did Jonah get mad? All right, first of all, let's see a little bit about this situation. Go back to chapter 1 and pick up verse 1. It says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish. So here's Jonah, and how many of you know the story of Jonah? How many believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale? And went down into the bottom of the belly of the whale, and he spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. And then God puked him up on the beach. The whale puked him up on the beach, and he ran down through the city of Nineveh and said, 40 days, and God shall destroy Nineveh. 40 days, and God shall destroy Nineveh. And that whole city repented and got right with God and got saved. The entire city. Suppose I preached the gospel message and everybody in this town got saved. Would I do like Jonah did? And go out here on one of the ridges over here and go say, Sinking Springs got saved. The whole bunch of them too. That's Jonah. Isn't that Jonah? Jonah's looking out there and he's saying, they're all repenting and are all getting right with God. He's ticked and mad. Why is Jonah mad? when the whole place got saved, what would you do? Man, what would you do? I mean, I know what you'd do. Oh, man, they couldn't hold you down, man, if the whole city got us to the Sinking Springs got saved, and everybody in Sinking Springs that you know and don't know, and everybody here got saved and repented, you'd be balling, you'd be on cloud nine for the next 10 years. Yeah. You couldn't come down. Say amen. That's what would happen. That ain't Jonah. That ain't Jonah. Jonah's mad, boy. Jonah's mad. He's ticked, boy. He's ticked. And you need to know why he got mad. I want you to take and I want you to write down the reason why Jonah got mad. It is found in chapter 4. Jonah is found in chapter 4. It's found in verse 2. It says in verse 1, but it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? That's why he fled and got on a ship going to Tarshish because of this. Therefore, I fled to Tarshish. Know that thou art gracious God and merciful and slow to anger and a great kindness, and repenteth thee of the evil. So why did Jonah get mad? Because if I go over there and preach at Nineveh, I know God. God's gracious, he's merciful, he's kind, and he's just liable to forgive that bunch. And then I'm going to holler for 40 days and 40 nights that God's going to destroy it, and then God ain't going to destroy it, and that's going to make me look like a fool. I'll look like a fool when I do that. So write it down. Jonah's mad because he now looks like a fool. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Deuteronomy and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18, and then you will see it clearly that Jonah's mad because he is being looked like a fool. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18. And pick up verse 22. Now, Jonah was the prophet of God. Amen? And he prophesied 40 days and 40 nights, and God shall wipe you off the face of the earth. He's going to destroy you. And he had the right message. Verse 22. Now, watch it. When a prophet, and that's what Jonah was, when a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, that's what Jonah did. Now watch it. If the thing follow not, it doesn't happen what the prophet said was going to happen, follow not, nor come to pass, didn't come to pass. Now that's what happened. Didn't come to pass. God said he was going to destroy Nineveh, and then he didn't. It didn't come to pass. Now watch it. Nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So here's Jonah, going up there on that hill and saying, that's not going to come to pass, not going to come to pass, and I'm going to look like a fool. So he's mad at God, mad at God. Now write it down. When God makes you look like a fool, you're going to get mad at him. That's what he's mad about. God made him look like a fool. Now, God's going to make you look like a fool, too, boy. Write it down. God will make you look like a fool more than once in your life. Make you like a first-class fool more than once. Man, what, I'm a fool. What have I done? What have I done? That's the Lord. That's the Lord. Every Christian that witnesses for Jesus Christ looks like a fool in the eyes of this world. Now you say, can you prove that? Yes, I can. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians. Every Christian that tells a man that he's going to die and go to hell and tells him he needs to be saved and he needs to be born again, he needs to receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, is going to look like a fool. Now turn to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and look at verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1:18. And it says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, now you there say amen. For the preaching of the what? Cross. Now what's the preaching of the cross? The cross is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for whose sins?
My sins. Everybody goes just like this. My sins. He died for my sins on the cross of Calvary.
And he was buried for 3 days and 3 nights and arose from the grave. That's the preaching of the cross. That'll save you. Period. 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 Don't you put anything after it. Period. That'll save you. No more and no less. Say amen. If you do that, what does it say? It says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish what? Foolishness. So every man, every time you get up in the pulpit, you look like a fool to an unsaved man. You say, oh, that's foolish. Man, he gets there screaming, hollering, throwing his hands up in the air. And what? Man, that guy is a fool. But it's that Bible says the preaching of the cross is said by the foolish is the preaching. It pleased God by the foolish of preaching to save those who believe. You say, well, every time you witness, you look like a fool. Now, you listening to me? Some of you want to be a nice, sweet, little, polite Christian, and you don't want to upset anybody. You want to be a nice Christian, do you? You want to be a nice, sweet, little Christian? Now, let me tell you something. Can a man get saved if he's not lost? Can a man get saved if he's not a sinner? Can a man get saved if he doesn't know what he's getting saved from? You got to tell him, hey, man, you're going to hell. And you know what he's going to do? He could get mad. Like that guy got mad at me the other day. He went out there and puffed out of there and puffed out of there and wouldn't get mad at me. What for? I told him he wasn't saved. You follow me, folks? So every time you witness to somebody and try and get them saved, you know what's going to happen? You're going to look like a fool, and you can't stand that, so you don't want nobody getting mad at you. And so you haven't won a soul to Jesus Christ yet. And you've been saved how long? How long have you been saved and haven't won a soul to Jesus Christ? How long has it been? Some, you're a little bit ticked and mad at God because he makes you look like a fool every time you witness. Paul says, I'm a fool for Christ. And that's the greatest Christian that ever lived. Look at here. One day I had a preacher come into my office. I won't even tell you what his name is. But he come into my office and he come in there and says, Brother Bemis, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. And get to know this guy and met him. I didn't know him real well. I just talked to him. And he said, one of these tricks. Watch this. Now I thought, oh boy, what's this? What's this going to be? He went over there and grabbed the telephone book and flopped it open. And went like that. Grabbed the phone and dialed that number. And says, hello? Says, who am I talking to? He says, my name's John. Your name's John? How old are you, John? I'm 12 years old. You're 12 years old. John, are you a sinner? Yes. John, did Jesus die for your sins? Yes. John, will you ask Jesus to save you? Yes. Ask him to come in your heart and save you? Right now, will you ask, Jesus to come in your heart and save you? Yes, I did that. Okay, you're saved. Praise the God, you're saved. Amen. Bam. So what do you think of that, preacher? I think you're an idiot. I think you're an idiot. But preacher, you think I'm an idiot? Well, I said, you never told him he was a sinner. You never told him he was going to hell. You never got him lost. You've got to be lost before you can get saved. And a 12-year-old boy over the telephone, you're an idiot. Okay, come on with me, bud. He got a little mad at me. We went out, and I said, now this door's mine, and that door's yours. We're going to knock on doors. That door's yours, and this one, the next one's mine. And then the next one's yours, and the next one's mine. And I want to see what you're doing. Let's go. He'd go up to the door, and he'd talk to the door, and if within 5 minutes, man, he had somebody led to the Lord and praying. And I'd walk away, and I'd say, you did not tell them that their sins were taking them to hell. You got to be. Jesus Christ died only for sinners. Only sinners did he die for. If you're not a sinner, Jesus didn't die for you. Because he died for sinners. Say amen. How many of you was a sinner and got saved? How many of you was a sinner going to hell and got saved? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And that's what Jonah's mad at, because it made him look like a fool. God is going to make you look like a fool every time you're telling a guy that he's going to hell. You know what's wrong with Christians? They've lost their guts now, and they're not telling anybody they're going to go to hell. I don't want to upset nobody. Don't want to upset. I just don't want anybody to get mad at me. I don't want to tell them. And you know what? Be your best friend. Be your best friend, and you won't tell him that he's going to hell because you're afraid you're going to upset him. You're afraid he's going to get mad at him. You're afraid you're going to look like a fool. You want to be a nice, sweet little Christian. That's what's wrong with Jonah. That's how come he's mad. Made him look like a fool. Point number two. I want you to look at the book of Jonah, and I want you to pick up Jonah chapter 4, and I want you to read verse 3 this time. Why is Jonah mad? Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? He's angry and he's mad. He's ticked. Now write it down. Why is Jonah mad? Number one, he's mad because he's looked like a fool. Number two, he's mad because Jonah won't forgive. Jonah's out there sitting on the mountain, went outside the eastern gate and sitting down there, and he's mad because he won't forgive. He just still remembers. Man, he remembers what happened. Here's this nation that is about ready to come down and wipe out the nation of Israel. And he's saying, the Lord, there's these people, and there's the Jews, my people, and they're backsliding out of fellowship with God, and here's a bunch of the enemy, and they're going to get in fellowship with you, and they're going to get right with you, and then when the next battle comes, they're going to clean the Jews out. See what he's thinking? He's saying, I won't forgive them. I won't forgive them. Kind of in there, he doesn't care if they go to hell or not. You know what some Christians are like? They're sitting alongside a whole bunch of unsaved people that they're working with, a whole bunch of saved people around them, and they just don't care if they go to hell or not, because they're not willing to forgive them. They know they're sinners. They know they're lost and going to hell, and they don't care. And so he has that unforgiving heart inside of him. Now, write it down. You have to pray that God will give you a forgiving heart. Now, something wrong with Jonah. Why is he mad? He's mad because he does not know the value of a soul. Write it down. He does not know the value of a soul. He looks out there and all these people, thousands of them, 60,000 children. If there's 60,000 children, how many adults is there? There's a whole bunch of adults. There's at least 60,000. That'd be at least 120,000 people out there in that city of Nineveh. That is what? And Jonah's looking out at them, and he's mad and ticked, and he's saying inside of himself, something more valuable. Now, let's see what something more valuable is. Look at verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and set under it a shadow till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be shadow over his head to deliver him from the grave. So Jonah was, now underline it, what? Exceedingly what? Glad for the gourd. He was exceedingly glad for the gourd. He was happy about the gourd coming up over him and said, man, boy, is this nice. And he looks out there and all these people still repenting, getting right. And did he say, boy, thank God they got saved? Or is he happy in the gourd?
He didn't know the value of a soul.
Now, do you know how valuable a soul is? Do you know the value of one man's soul? Let me show it to you. Turn to Mark chapter 8. And this is why a Christian, some Christians, never win a soul to Jesus Christ, is because they don't know the value of a soul. A man's soul is the most valuable thing on earth. Look at Mark chapter 8. Let's see it in the scripture. Mark chapter 8. And let's pick up verse 36. Verse 36 says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the what, folks? Whole world." So let's put the whole world on this side, the whole world on this side, and let's put that person over on this side that you'd like to see get saved, but you don't really care whether he does or not. One soul, just one soul. But suppose the one soul is your mother. Suppose the one soul is your daddy. Suppose the one soul is your son. Anybody with me? Suppose the one soul is your husband. The one soul right here, how valuable is he? One man's soul. Let's put all the gold that's in Fort Knox on this side. Every automobile in America, every house in America, every treasure in the world on this side. And you own it all. Lock, stock, and barrel. And one man's soul on this side. The scale goes down on this side. The scale goes down on this side. And I'll raise it. I'll raise it. And Jonah looking out there and says, "Oh, man, my guard. I got a guard. I got a guard." Looks out at the souls going to hell and says, He mad, ticked. "Oh, God, kill me. Oh, wait a minute, I'm enjoying my gourd." You with me? Some Christians have no value of a man's soul. No value whatsoever. You say, how do you know? They've never witnessed to them and told them about Jesus. One of these days, you're going to go up in heaven and you're going to go to the white throne judgment and you're going to be there and an unsaved man's going to come by. And he's going to look right at you and say, "How come you never told me about Jesus?" Boy, won't that be something. How come you never told me how to get saved? How come you told me how to, didn't tell me how to be born again? Boy, some folks are going to be in trouble. I wonder if that's you. Jonah is mad because he does not know the value of a soul. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 12. I want to show you the value of a soul. Turn to Luke chapter 12. And in Luke chapter 12, pick up verse 13. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Verse 13 says, "And one of the company," are you with me? Luke chapter 12, verse 13. I want to show you the value of a man's soul. "And one of the company said to Jesus, 'Master, speak to my brother that he divide..." What does he want to divide? The what, folks? The inheritance with me. So he comes to Jesus and said, "Now, Jesus, I've got a brother. Mom and daddy died. And there's a big inheritance. I mean a lot. And I want my brother to divide it with me. It's daddy's, belonged to me. It was mom and daddy's, and they're both gone. And I want, Jesus, will you make him give me part of that inheritance?" Y'all with me now? Folks are getting excited when mom and daddy die, they go home and get the big inheritance of 4 or 5 million. You'd be excited too if it was 4 or 5 million. Say amen. Yeah, 4 or 5 million, yeah, you'd be excited. And your brother says, "No, I'm taking it all." You don't get none of it? Your brother's going to take it all? That's what's going on right there. Y'all see it? Say amen. "And he said to him, 'Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?'" You know what he says? "Forget it. I'm not even going to mess with it." Jesus, "I don't care how many millions you don't get. I don't care if you don't get a dime. It's none of my business. I ain't going to mess with it." The Lord doesn't consider that success. Write in the margin of your Bible, God doesn't consider a great big church success. If you had 5,000 people in this church, you wouldn't be a success in God's eyes. That's no guarantee. Now, if you preach them the word and give them the book and give them, if you had 50, you'd be a success. If you had 25, you'd be a success. If you had 10, you preach them the book, you'd be a success in God's eyes. We say everything big is a success. They've gone crazy. They say if you're rich, you got a $1 million home, you got a big old Cadillac, you got all the cars, you got all the stuff, you're a success. No, you ain't. Not in Jesus' sight. He said, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Turns around and walks off from this guy. You see it, folks? You see it? I'm trying to show you the value of a soul. A soul is valuable. Got a great big price on it, boy, a price. And you're letting the soul slip out of your hand. With you. Amen and amen, brother. Now let's read a little bit further.
And he said unto them, now verse 14, and he said unto him, man, who made me a judge and divider over you? And he said unto them, now watch what he says. Take heed. And beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. Boy, American people are in trouble. I mean, they go to Kmart and fill a garage full of Kmart junk, and they go to Walmart and fill it full of Walmart junk, and then they and the house, and they walk out of there with plastic bags going like this. Till the house is full. And Jesus said, this life consists not in the abundance of the things that you possess. Amen. Isn't it strange? People are weird. I was telling about a church somewhere down here that all the tithers, if you're a big tither, you got a little packet, a little slab here on your shirt. If you're a $100 tither, if you're a $200 tither, you get another little pack over here like that. And if you're a $400 tither, or if you're $1,000, what if you're $1 million tither? Boy, you go strutting around. That's hell! That's hell! That's Ichabod on that church! Ichabod! You know what Ichabod is? The glory of God has departed. I'd leave that church as fast as make your head spin. Well, the Lord ain't there, boy. That ain't having nothing to do with God. God's what a guy gives between you and God. Yeah. You're strutting around showing it, boy. I'd disappear from that church so fast make your head spin. I'm going to stay there another 10 seconds. And yet people are, biggest church around. Boy, our church is big. People then went nuts, see. And a value of a man's soul is tremendous. According to Jesus Christ died for that soul. He died and crucified and said, it is finished. That's what he did for a man's soul, boy. And you don't think it's valuable? Cost him his son's death. High price. High price. You know what it's like? We're in the last days. And it's like a cherry tree. Up there in Collisville, we have a bunch of cherry trees around Flathead Lake. Got a big old Flathead Lake about 50 miles long. And a bunch of cherry trees around it. And in comes the first fruits. They pick a few cherries. In comes the harvest. Man, they pick every cherry in sight. The harvest is past, folks. Only thing up there now is one or two cherries way at the top of the tree. That's all there is, brother. Just one or two cherries. You go days and days and days and days and days and days and days. There's only one or two cherries right at the top of the tree. They're hard to get, boy, hard to get. They're scary. I got to climb up the tree and climb up the tree and get way up to the top. At least way up there. I got the next to the last cherry. There's one more left. The harvest was back and gone over, man. They used to come down the aisles by 50s and get saved. They used to come down by hundreds and get saved. That ain't happening in America. Ain't going to happen. This church ain't going to happen. My church ain't going to happen. Any church. You just better get ready and prepare
They're valuable. I'm going to get me one. I'm a climb to the top of the tree, and Lord, I want to go to heaven. I want to win some to Jesus before it's over with. Or you're just going to let it slide and never take anybody to heaven with you. I got somebody on this hand. His name's Virgil Cookman. Virgil Cookman right there. I'm going to say, Virgil, come over here and take my hand. And I'm going to take several on this side, and I'm going to take a whole bunch of them. I'm going to take some folks with me. Are you going to take anybody with you when you get up in heaven, or are you just going to miss them? You're kind of like Jonah. You don't know the value of a soul. That's the problem. Now it says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things that he possesses. He ain't through yet. And he spake a parable in the same, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty, and he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do with, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said unto him, this will I do, I will pull down my barns, I will build greater, and I will bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years, take thy ease, drink, and be merry. He's got it, he's man, he's got it made in shade. He's hiring the hog and rolling the chicken. He has got it made. He's got a bank account that won't quit. And he's getting ready to retire. And he's retiring early at about 45. Y'all with me? But God said to him, verse 20, thou what? What did God call him? Now wait a minute. What did God call him, folks? If God said he was a fool, do you think God was right? God called him a fool. Now let's see why he was a fool. Thou soul, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then shall these things be that thou hast provided. He didn't take care of his own soul. He took care of everything else, but didn't take care of his own soul. He didn't know the value of his own soul. Which thou provided. Now watch it. I say, then shall these things be that thou hast provided. So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Can an unsaved man be rich toward God? Can he? He ain't got nothing. He ain't got nothing. Unsaved man haven't got nothing. You can't give God anything. You haven't got nothing to give God if you're lost. All God wants out of you is for you to get saved. That's all he wants. If you don't do nothing, if you don't do that, forget about it. You can't please God. You can't give God nothing. You can't lay up any treasures in heaven. Forget the whole thing, man. You're going to hell, and God has one thing in mind for you to do is get saved. That's all he cares about. Say amen. So who's the passage talking about? Talking about a Christian. Talking about a Christian. So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. So the Christian is doing what? Laying up treasures here and laying up treasures here and laying up treasures here and laying up treasures here. And he's not rich toward God. Why? Because he doesn't know the value of a soul. See that? Did the light go off? Do you know the value of a man's soul? Or is it just, oh well. If God wants to save him, he'll save him. And if God don't want to save him, God won't save him. That's up to God. You got the thing all wrong. My Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all men should come to repentance. You are the dividing factor. You are the deciding factor. If that man says yes to God, God will save him. He says no to God, God will put him in hell. Say amen. Then Jonah is mad because he does not know the value of a soul. Now, why else is Jonah mad? Now, look at the passage of script there in the book of Jonah. Jonah says something. Jonah says verse 6, and the Lord prepared a gourd. Now, he made him a gourd. And made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad for the gourd. So write it down. He's mad, though he knows something. He knows that he's mad because he's more interested in the gourd than he is these people. He's more interested in that. Write it down. He's mad because he's more interested in the gourd than he is unsaved people going to hell. Now, what's the gourd? The gourd is your new car. So he's more interested in his new car than he is people going to hell. The gourd is a new house. Yeah? I got a new house. I got a new house. But it ain't compared to a man's soul. Ain't compared to a man's soul. You're fixing to have a new house. Remember, it's just a gourd. Just a gourd. That's all it is. It's a gourd. Here's your guy's new car. Oh, I got to go out and polish my gourd. Oh, it only has one quart of wax. Oh, I got to go out and polish my gourd again. There's a soul right beside him going to hell. And he hadn't told him about Jesus and not going to tell him about Jesus. And he's afraid he'll look like a fool, so he's just going to let the guy go to hell. Oh, my gourd! Buys a brand new pickup. I mean to tell you, that pickup is a red, shiny boy. It does look, woo! It's just a gourd. Just a gourd. Jonah says, oh, my wonderful gourd. I like this gourd. Man, this makes me happy. And there's all these people dying and going to hell, and Jonah's ticked at that. And they're getting saved. He just, I like the gourd, though. Yeah, you like your car, you like your house, and you like your clothes, and you like your garage, and you like all your junk, and people are dying and going to hell. Hey, it's just a gourd! Jonah didn't know it. I want to tell you something else. Look there, he mistook for the eternal for the temporary. Look down there in the next verse come to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head. No, I skipped one. Look at verse 7. But God prepared a what? Worm. Write it down. Write it down. And write in the margin of your Bible, like, God will give you a worm. God will give you a worm. What for? To show you the value of a soul. Show you the value of a soul. Along comes, you say, what's the worm? Your new pickup hitting a telephone pole without insurance on it. You say, what's the worm? The worm's a house caught fire and burned down. I didn't have insurance on it. I let it lapse. You say, what's that? That's trying to give you a value of a soul. Trying to give you a value of a soul. Why? Because you think the gourd's more important than people going to hell. Amen. You know how come I know somebody is like Jonah and they're kind of mad? Because they've never won a soul to Jesus Christ yet in their Christian life. Have you won one? Have you won somebody to Jesus Christ? You got talent, you got looks, you got money, you got a smile on your face, you're happy. You better win a soul. You better win a soul if you can smile at people. That's what people like. People, a smile fools people. Yeah, it does. It fools them. They see that big smile, they go, I like that, I like that, I like that. And then they say, I can talk to this guy. Well, if you ain't smiling, they go, what's that grumpy old guy? I don't want to mess with him. He must be a preacher. Y'all with me? Say amen. And you got that? You got all those abilities, and you still haven't won a soul to Jesus Christ. Now, what's the problem? Let's read a little bit further. Verse 8, and it come to pass, when the sun did rise, that God prepared a venomous east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted. And wished within himself to what? Die. And said, it is better for me to die than to live. Why? His gourd's gone. Why, look at the lost souls. Look at the lost souls, Jonah. You just won the whole city. He's more interested in his comfort of the gourd. That's some Christians I know. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. He wouldn't get it. He wouldn't get it. He wouldn't get it. He stays mad.
My man, but I'm just mad, and I don't care if they do go to hell.
That's what some Christians have. They've never won a soul, and they're not going to win a soul, and they're not going to witness, and they're not going to tell anybody about Jesus. That's the preacher's job. I got news for you. That's your job. Now watch it. Watch what happens. And God said unto Jonah, dost thou well to be angry? Verse 9, for the gourd. And he said, I do well to be angry even unto death. Then said the Lord, thou hast had, what's that next word? Thou hast had what? Everybody say it.
Pity, 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 pity.
That's what's missing. He didn't have pity on Nineveh. He didn't have pity on a lost soul. You have to have some pity on a lost soul so you can win you one. Pity on the gourd for which thou hast not labored, neither made it to grow, which came up in the night and perished in the night. See how temporary the gourd is? That house will not make it through the tribulation. I hope you get your house built. There's nothing wrong with it. It's fine. It's really okay. Just remember, it's a gourd, and it will not make it through the tribulation. There's hailstones, 60 pounds, fall in the tribulation. What's it going to do to this building and your house and your car? They're going to smash them flatter than that car going down the road on top of that semi. They're going to smash them flat. 60-pound hailstones going to smash everything flat, boy. It's going to hammer it all. So you can't take it with it. It's temporary. So he didn't know the difference between temporary things and eternal things. There's an eternal soul out there in Nineveh. And Jonah's saying, my gourd, the Lord says, it's temporary. Come up in one night and perished in a night. And here's a soul that will last for eternity in hell. And you don't care. That's some Christians are like Jonah. Do you care if a man dies and goes to hell? I think some of you don't care. Every eye closed and every head bowed. But you don't have to be like Jonah. You don't have to be like Jonah. You can say, okay, God, I don't want to be like Jonah. I want to win me a soul to Jesus Christ. I want to win me one. Now you can, brethren, you can. But you're going to have to get desperate because you're too concerned with the gourd. You're spending time with the gourd and effort on the gourd and working on the gourd, the soul to Jesus Christ. You like to see folks walk the aisle and get saved? Get them in church.
Get them in church. Get them in church. They can walk the aisle and get saved. Get them in church. Get them and say, well, I'll take you out to dinner if you come to church with me. He says, bribery. Yeah, but you get a soul. You'll get a soul. Now with every eye closed and every head bowed,